All right, the Parsha's Maaseh. It says, "Ela Maaseh b'nei Yisrael asher yatzu me'aretz Mitzrayim l'tzivo osam b'yad Moshe v'Aaron." These are the travels of b'nei Yisrael that when they left Mitzrayim, according to their numbers, in the hands of Moshe and Aaron, their numbers that were listed by Moshe and Aaron. Vayichtov Moshe et motzo'ein l'maaseihem. Here we go. Moshe wrote down those places that they went to among their travels, al pi Hashem, by the word of God, the Ela Maaseihem l'motzo'ehem. And these are their travels according to where they went out, according to where those cities were. So it switches it around. The first time it says Motzo'ehem l'maseihem. The next time it says Maseihem l'motzo'ehem. It seems to be the opposite way. What's the switching around of here? Plus, what's the purpose of Parshas Maaseh? Why do we have to tell you all 42 places? It's not like there's too many chidushim in this Parsha. Everything that we go through has been said in order as we've been going through the Parshas. We already said that we went to Har Sinai. We said what happened in Rephidim. We went through what happened in Mara and Elim and everything. Most of this is just repetition. It's just repetition for everything that's been happening up until now. So what in the world is the point of Parshas Maaseh in telling us all 42 cities one after the other? Aside from that, there's a minhag in Klal Yisrael. The minhag in Klal Yisrael is to read Parshas Maaseh with the trup, with the tune of Oz Yashir. I don't know if you guys have heard it before, but the same tune they use for Oz Yashir. That's how you're supposed to read Parshas Maaseh. So not everybody's able to do it. Not Eicha. In the way of saying, like for example, if we go in the Parsha, it says, that's how the minig is to do that. Not every Bal Kori does that, but it's a minig that's been brought down for generations. It's brought down by the time of Minhagen. It's brought down everywhere. The question is why? Why do we do it in that tune of Oz Yashir? Okay, so number one to start us off, there's a Rabbeinu Bachai and a Ramban. The problem, I'll tell you just quickly as a hakdom, as an introduction, the problem that many people have with learning, when they start learning Gemara, when they start really getting into Gemara, is that they go in with preconceived notions. You go in with certain things that you think you know. You go in and you're just like, oh, that can't be true because... And they say something. And that can't be true because of this. When they try to learn Gemara, they try sitting there and they try to understand what's going on in the Gemara, and they have questions because they don't understand. The point behind Gemara is to take away all assumptions. All assumptions. Forget everything that you have in your head. Learn the Gemara that's there right in front of you. After you understand the Gemara in front of you, then open up your mind and say to yourself, well, what does it say in other Gemaras? What does that other Gemara say? Is there another Gemara that argues on this? But don't go in with another Gemara in your head, then trying to understand what this Gemara says. That's not the way to go. You'll get nowhere if you try doing that, because you'll keep having questions. I don't understand this, I don't understand that, and then you'll get confused, you'll get upset at what's going on, and then you won't find any geschmack in your learning. The point is to understand the Gemara in front of you. Rashi is the quintessential person to look at when you do things like that. Because Rashi writes his parish based on what he sees right there in the Gemara. He doesn't take Gemaras all over the place. That's Tosfos' job. Tosfos is like being told, and if you're going to say, what about in this Gemara? Rashi's job is not to do that. Rashi's job is, let's explain what it means at this moment. That's why Pshat and Daf Lamed may be different from Pshat and Daf Samach. Because Rashi's translating Daf Lamed according to what he sees in Daf Lamed, and Daf Samach according to what he sees in Daf Samach. That's supposed to be the point of learning a Gemara, that you understand things according to where you are at that time. That's the reason why when a person is a little kid, we don't start them off learning sciences, natural sciences, and biology, and chemistry, and geology, and all those things out there. The reason why is so simple, and it's a cherem from the Rashba. The Rashba and the Shalos V'Tshuvos HaRosh say that if you learn other wisdoms of the world, other sciences of the world, before you're 25, there's a cherem on you. There's an excommunication on you. Each one of us was excommunicated from the Rashba and the Shalos V'Tshuvos HaRosh. It's unbelievable. Why not? Why not learn these things? What's wrong with them? In fact, it can help me. If I understand mathematics, if I understand astronomy, if I understand sciences, then I'll be able to understand the Gemara better. I'll be able to understand the Chumash better. I'll be able to understand where the Chumash is coming from. Why is there a cherem not to be able to learn these things? So listen to this. Rabbeinu Bachai says it beautifully, but he says like this. A child that learns other chachmas and and then goes to the Torah will end up trying to explain the Torah within the other wisdoms of the world. All he'll do is he'll see the other wisdoms. He's so set in his head. In the middle of his head is all these other wisdoms, all these other things going on there, that when he sees the Torah, he'll try to explain the psukim, try to explain what's going on according to what he sees within the sciences around there. He can't just look at the Torah and explain the Torah itself. He can't do that. He only learns up the Torah when he sees that science agrees with it. And if science doesn't agree with it, if nature, natural things don't agree with it, then forget it. The Torah must be wrong. That type of a guy is a piece of garbage. An absolute piece of garbage. Rashi says, the pshat is, manu b'nehem min ahegyon. It's a Gemara in Brachos, daf chaf chesem abeis. They stop their children from learning chumash. Why they stop their children from learning chumash? Because too much chumash can hurt a child. Trying to look at the chumash without seeing the midrashim on it, seeing Yehuda sinned, and Moshe Rabbeinu did something wrong, and Moshe got angry, and Aaron did this, and this guy did that. Seeing that the Talmidei Chacham and the Gedolim are doing something wrong, and that the Esav and Lavan doesn't say anything bad about them. They seem to be doing what's right. That can hurt a child's brain. He's got to learn midrashim. When kids come home and they have pictures of what they learned in school, what do they have pictures of? They have pictures of midrashim. What do they learn when they're little kids? Midrashim. Why midrashim? Because if you learn these midrashim, it sticks inside your head. When you're 20 years old and you look at the pasuk and it says that Yehuda slept with Tamar, you can't picture Yehuda sleeping with Azona. You can't do it. Yehuda's a gadol. How in the world could Yehuda do that? It's an unbelievable way of thinking, where you stopped yourself from thinking bad things by learning the good things first, by learning Yehuda was a gadol, Yehuda was a Talmud Chacham, Yehuda never did anything wrong. So then you ask the question, so why did Yehuda get together with Tamar? And then you'll be able to come up with answers. But if you do it the opposite way, what you do is the following. You'll say, oh, Yehuda slept with Azona? How could he do that? Oh, that's just an excuse. Really, Yehuda just slept with Azona. That's what you're going to do. So you got to go the opposite way. You got to take the Chumash and only learn it after you know the Midrashim. And so too over here. If you hear that Bnei Yisrael were in the desert for 40 years, you just heard from somebody, Bnei Yisrael is going to live in the desert for 40 years. What you're going to say to yourself is, Bnei Yisrael lived in the desert, but they were